listen, age to age he stands. Oh, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one, hallelujah. Father, Spirit, and Son. He's the Lion and the Lamb. He's the Lion and the Lamb.
Started out the new year with Bible devotions and readings, and Pastor and I have also been doing the same, but I want to read from John 4. It says, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not John who baptized but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph." You know where I'm going, don't you? Don't you? Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from his journey, and he sat down by the well. It was about noon. Yes, Jesus was tired, but Jesus also had a plan. Does Jesus have a plan for your life? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Listen to this now. You're going to get excited. "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?'" Now, we know right there that the Jews and the Samaritans did not mix. He's a man, too, and she's a woman. Now, his disciples had gone into town to get some food, because all of them were tired, all of them were hungry. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" We don't associate, is what she was saying. We're not supposed to be talking to one another. We're not supposed to be high-fiving each other. We're not supposed to be doing these things. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Now, living water is probably something that this lady had never heard about. But even the term living water. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" She was speaking about Jacob. She knew the story of Jacob. She knew the strength of his family. She knew what Jacob had done for that area. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Give me this water." Do you want the living water this morning? Do we need to just go in and get the living water this morning? Do we need to stop doing the daily normal things? Eating, sleeping, drinking our smart waters or whatever you drink. Some people have that little glass of orange juice every morning and that's their high five for the day. You know, that's their healthy for the day, that little glass of orange juice. Do we need to just stop doing the mundane? Do we need to realize that there's something so much deeper? That when we sit down in the mornings, that we sit down and have a devotion with the Lord, that when we're in that car, that we pop on that Bible app where we can hear it, that we can get it in our beans, that we hit that Christian songs, and that we're just playing that and depositing that in the Spirit, and that we're worshiping Him. Do we need to do that today? Are you connected with that living water? I hope so. Today, let's give praise to the one who restores us over and over again, who gives us the water that we will never run dry. Praise you, Father. Lord, we thank you for you are God. We thank you, Father, for bringing us here, for giving us life, for renewing us, and giving us that living water that flows. And Father, just like the Samaritan woman, when you give it to us, we want to run out and tell other people about it. We don't want to hold it just for ourselves because it's so good. We want to tell others about it. Father, give us the energy and the courage, the boldness to share you with others. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. Now I'm going to give you a little homework assignment, you know, from an old school teacher. Find out how the Samaritan woman passed away. Read what they think happened to the Samaritan woman. And it will deposit a little more about that living water and the things that we go through in daily life. All right. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to have our tithes and offerings. You can bring those forward or toward the back. There's buckets placed in the front. We welcome you to CSIC. And if you're a visitor with us today, please stop by the Welcome Center. We have a little gift for you, and we'd love for you to fill out the card for us just to get your information so that we can connect again.
Do you love the Lord? Oh, give Him praise. Hadn't He been wonderful to us? There's nothing like our God. Amen? Amen. Oh, we praise Him. We praise Him. Again, I have the pleasure and the honor of introducing a very special couple whom God has called to leave their homeland and go spread the gospel in other nations. This morning, you're going to hear a story of redemption. And you're going to see how the call of God is without repentance. And I want you to gather from this that if God has ever wanted you to do something, He still does. So this morning, please stand with me and welcome Joshua and Alina Gordon.
Well, good morning. I'm going to try to keep it all together. Can't make no promises. Because I'll stand there and worship with everyone this morning. Just the overwhelmness of God's mercy just rush over me. So our catchphrase for me and Alina going into missions is, who would have thought? I say that phrase this morning because 6 years and 2 weeks ago, on January 18th of 2016, I walked in Sand Hills Teen Challenge as a student. My life was in shambles. I was raised in the church, but through just circumstances outside of my control, I just didn't want anything to do with God from a very young age. And God had to put me through some stuff in life. And no matter how far you've gone this morning, no matter how far you think that God can't use you, that man, you're too dirty, you're too broken, let this man stand in front of you as a testimony this morning that whenever Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable on your life, let my life be a testimony to that this morning. Because it's nothing but the grace and the mercy of God I stand here in front of you. 100% healed, 100% restored, and just on fire for the kingdom and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That son you've been praying for, that grandbaby you've been praying for, keep on praying, because if it wasn't for the prayers of the people who believed in the power of God over my life, I wouldn't be here this morning. I would be another statistic, that just another person addicted to dope died from an overdose. Another person who got sober for a little while went back and died. But man, I'm telling you, when God heals you and you're really like, y'all know John 10:10? When Jesus said, man, I'm here to give you life and life more abundantly, that applies to every single person in this room. You are not excluded. I don't care how bad on the inside you think, oh man, this depression has me all grappled up. This anxiety has my life under control. Man, Jeremiah 29:11 just doesn't, it applies to you because that was me. That was me. I'm sorry, guys. I got a little excited. But man, whenever he said, man, we're a story of redemption, man, we really are. But the great thing about the kingdom and the gospel is that everyone sitting here, in our own way, we're all a story of redemption. We're all a story of redemption, because last time I checked, we have all fallen short, and we all need His forgiveness and grace. No matter what your story, what the details entail, we all are a story of redemption.
Amen. What he said is true. We're all a story of redemption. And I just want to thank you all for having us here this morning. And some of you may know, some of you may not know, I stood in this very place 13 years ago. And you all prayed for me. You sent me to Mexico to take the gospel message. And I went with a heart on fire. believing for anything and everything that God had. And when I landed there, things began to turn. My life began to crumble. And I remember the day that I got on the plane to come back to North Carolina. I thought I was walking away for the calling on my life. It was heartbreaking. We got home and circumstances happened and my husband left me. And here I was, a minister, a woman minister, going through a divorce. And if anyone has ever walked through a divorce or walked with anyone through a divorce, you know it's messy. It is not fun. And I can tell you it felt like ground zero in my life. But I literally locked myself in my closet and said, Lord, heal my broken heart. And if I have to go through this, let me do it well. Let me do it with grace and dignity. And Lord, let your name be glorified through this horrible situation. I wouldn't talk about missions after that because it broke my heart so much. So I served in the local church and I raise money for other missionaries, and I would allow them to stay in our house. And I later connected with this handsome man, and we got married. And at the beginning of this year, the Holy Spirit spoke to us and said, prepare yourselves. It's time to go back into full-time ministry. And so we began to pray, and we didn't even send our resume out, but people began to call us and ask us to come interview for things throughout the district, NCAG. And so we would go, and, you know, the last place we really felt like, Lord, this is it. This is it. We'll go here. And then the door was shut without hardly any explanation, and I was so confused. I was like, Lord, why are you having us go places just to reject us? That kind of hurts, you know? And then Josh was away on a business trip, and I was chatting with a friend who's a missionary to Costa Rica, and I used to serve with her when I was there in language school. And she said, Alina, when you pray for me, pray for workers, because I've got so much to do. And I don't know what happened that night, because he had been trying to get me to go to the mission field for like 5 years. But I said, you want me to apply? And she said, yes, yes. And so I called my mentor and I said, listen, I don't know what got into me, but I said, yes, and now I got to talk to Josh, and I'm scared, to be honest. I'm frightened. And she said, Alina, I would be shocked if you weren't scared. But let's pray. And when Josh gets home, talk to him about it, but don't talk to him about it beforehand. And so I said, okay. And so she and I prayed for a couple of days, and then Josh came home, and I told him the opportunity. And he said, yes. Yes, this is more than we could ask, think. It is just wonderful. This fits, Alina, this fits. And I said, don't you know missions is hard? And he said, Alina, you say all the time, if anything is worth it, it's not going to be easy. And that's the truth. It's not going to be easy, but God turned my mourning into dancing. He took my mess and he said, Alina, I'm taking your mess, what you thought was ground zero, what you thought was all broken and messy and you didn't want to show anybody, and I'm making it a message for my glory, because life is messy. And some of you in here are thinking, Lord, you know how messy my life is. that God can take your messy life, no matter how messy it is, and turn it around for His glory. And who knows, He might even send you to the nations. He might even send you to the nations. So, here we are, getting ready to go to Costa Rica. Josh is going to share a little bit about what we're going to be doing.
So we will be serving under Mary Mann. She's been a missionary for over 30 years. She is the executive director of a ministry called Child Hope, formerly known as Latin American Child Care. They've been established down there since the 60s. They have over 300 schools in 20 countries. And they serve impoverished neighborhoods and impoverished children that wouldn't have no other opportunity for education. So we're going to be going down there and partnering with them and helping them bring in new sponsors, new creative ways to fund these schools and to help these children to continue to learn about God and to grow into their own callings. And we will also be focusing on an after-school program called Chicos and Chicas de Promesa. That's the Boys and Girls of Promise. So they get out of school at 2 o'clock. The parents don't get home till 5 o'clock. They live in drug-infested, prostitution-infested neighborhoods. They were getting abused, groomed, all types of stuff, human trafficked, everything. So they started these after-school programs. After that, 90% of the abuse done. So that's a blessing on that. So we'll be helping partner that and spread that to all 300 schools. I will also be working, sorry. My emotions got me not thinking clearly. Then I'll also be working with local pastors to help incorporate some outpatient support group type ordeals for people who struggle with drug addiction. With my background with Teen Challenge and just knowing how hard it is, but knowing how free you can actually become through Christ, it's a big passion of mine. And I'm honored to be able to partner with the local body down there to help, you know, bring the same freedom that Christ brought to me.
Yes, amen. And Pastor Michael asked us to tell you where Costa Rica is. So if you're going down the North America, you head through Mexico, you keep going through Guatemala, Nicaragua, and it's right before Panama. So you could actually drive there if you wanted to, but it'd take you a while. How can you help us to get there? You know, the word says, how can we go unless someone sends us? And so we ask that you partner with us. There are two ways to partner with us. We need monthly commitments, and we need 38 people to say, I can give $100 a month. And you can do the math. If you can't give $100, maybe you can do $20 a month. Whatever you can do, we would be happy to set you up. We've got some forms outside the door like this, and you can pledge to give monthly. The other way you can give is just a one-time gift. We need about $35,000 in cash to go. And so we ask you to ask the Holy Spirit what He would have you to do. And please, above all, pray for us. Pray that the Lord would be with us and that we would keep focused on Him and the calling He has on our lives. Thank you again for having us.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Now it's your time. One of the greatest promises that we have upon this earth is seed time and harvest. This is seed time. This is seed time. You can sow today into Costa Rica. You know, you heard their story. You know what they need. Scripture also says that a man will reap whatsoever he soweth. It also says that if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. Let's pray. Father, right now, I ask you by your Holy Spirit to impress upon the hearts of these people what you would have them do. Exactly what you would have them do in this offering we're receiving today and the commitment forms that we're going to be able to fill out when we leave this place. Tell us, Lord. Make it clear. and we will respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring your offering.
Praise the Lord. Well, every time you turn around or taking a missions offering, if you don't like that, you're at the wrong place. Amen. Some of you got your year-end giving report, and I think it gave you a little synopsis. Pastor Noli gave you a little synopsis of what we were able to accomplish last year in terms of food giveaways and cash given to missions. Over $40,000 came through this church last year to other countries. Amen. Praise God. So, thank you for being a giving church. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God just does incredible things when we give to missions. So glad to have the Gordons here today. I remember 13 years ago because I've been here a little while. And I love your story. Amen. Story of God's redemption. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for loving the Lord, and thank you for being a part of His church. And, you know, I'm ministered to, if I don't do anything but just walk in here and gather with you guys, I get ministered to. Just being in God's presence, feeling his power, being encouraged by words that are shared and songs that are ministered. And it takes a lot of people to make ministry happen. We're blessed with a team that is dedicated. Across the back line back there are people that rarely get mentioned, but you know, somebody has to handle live stream. But right now that message is going out across the waves. Tomorrow it'll go live at 12 o'clock in 182 countries. Can you imagine that would happen? And we seldom even ask you for anything because we don't have to. People that are giving all the time to the television part, and we don't even have to ask you, hey guys, we need some help, we're running a little short on TV. We never run short. We have an excess of what God has given us to touch the nations. And so we're grateful for that. Thank you for having a heart. And many of you are sowing $125 a month in the TV ministry, and it's reaching the world. And we thank God for that. Thank God for missionaries. Amen. I had a chance to sit the other night with these guys and have a wonderful meal. And they've been at the Barnabas house for about a week. And seldom do we get invited over for dinner over there, but we got invited for dinner. So what I want to know is, when do you want to come back, okay? You just want to come back. Just come back to the Barnabas house, and I'm glad you got to come there and hang out for a few days. And I bless the Lord for meeting the needs of the Gordons. Praise the Lord. Today we have a Connection Sunday. So I want you all to listen just for a second. I'm going to give you a little infomercial, and then we're going to get on to the word that all ties together with what's been said thus far. Today's Connection Sunday is basically a live commercial, okay? There are about 15 tables that are set up in the back in the foyer. So when you leave today, I'm going to be standing there watching. So don't do something else, okay? Just ask to follow directions. Don't go out these side doors, okay? When you leave today, use the back exit all the way back to the Family Life Center, because we want you just to take them. It won't take you 10 minutes to walk through there, but you probably will stay longer because on every table, there's food. I mean, smoked barbecue sliders, you know, smoked ones. There's pasta salad and tossed salad and ham and cheese rolls, and there's sweets back there. There's all kinds of things that you can just pick up and eat. And you can register when you first walk through the door, because there's a tremendous amount of door prizes. Nice stuff. Nice stuff. And so we want you to be a part of Connection Sunday. And at each table, there's a sign-up sheet. You can either sign up because you want to participate in that ministry, or you want to serve somewhere. And so there's no promises today. We just want you to get on the list and say, hey, I'm interested in finding out more about this, and someone will contact you in just a little while. And everybody should be connected to a small group, a connect group, a life group, whatever word you want to put on. We're calling them connect groups. But everybody should be connected to something, because it makes you feel like you're a part, like you're more of an integral part of what's happening through the church here. We just can't do it all, you know? And God has graced us with a tremendous team of volunteers and pastors and ministers that we just appreciate people's gifts. Amen? Like this keyboard right here. I can play that thing, but I have to be by myself. Okay? And as soon as somebody walks in the room when I'm playing, I lose it. You know, I can sit there and play and sing, and but as soon as somebody sees me, I just can't play anymore. I lose it all, you know. I just sit there and play, and I can sing songs and have a good time. Somebody walked in on me one day in the sanctuary and said, I can't believe this. I heard you playing and singing. I said, yeah, but I can't do it except I'm by myself. And as soon as somebody else sees me, then I just forget all about what I'm supposed to do. It's nervousness or something. But anyway, I just don't do it anymore. But thank God for people who do. Amen. How many of you appreciate Josh Blevins? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I appreciate you, Josh. He's an arm wrestler too. Amen. I appreciate this team. I appreciate everyone who serves back here on the back line. Tell these guys once in a while, hey, thank you. There's lighting people, live stream people, camera people, sound people. And you'll have a chance today. You may say, well, you know what, I think I could do that. That's a challenging task, but there's a place back there in the back that you could sign up if you're willing to be trained to do those kinds of things. We're starting a new marriage group, Kingdom Marriages, and not just one. We're believing God for multiple marriage groups. There'll be others that will be starting in the next few weeks. Just couples that are willing to let you come to their house or their garage or wherever they meet and connect with people away from the church here, just to get to know folk and be strengthened. And then there's a new team, a photo team. Amen. This young lady right here, there's no telling how many times she has pushed a button on a camera and her photos end up going all over the world because of what we do. But she needs help. And so she's going to establish a ministry that will help train people to take pictures with their cameras. You know, some of the people got cameras, and I heard one guy say, man, I got one, but I don't know how to use it. So we're going to teach you how to use it for the glory of God. So there's small groups, connect groups that are forming. We've got a new team, a hospitality group called Helping Hands, that just wants to help folks in hard times. This week we had two funerals. We had to have a lot of food. Somebody needs to organize that. So Darlene Schreck has volunteered to start a Helping Hands hospitality group for people who just like to cook and help people. So, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can get involved. And we're just believing God. Father, in Jesus' name, as your people today leave this room and exit out of the back, would you supernaturally begin to speak to people on what they should sign up for, where they can serve, where they can realize their giftings and be greatly fulfilled doing the work of the service of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise God. I'm excited today. This is our last message in the revision series, and I title it Simply Send. It's important that the Gordons are here today because that's about sending. And so I want to bring you the last of those messages in this revision series, and a series that's devoted to sharing the heart of your pastor and your leadership and really the church at large. We've tried to articulate vision for this new year of 2022. But more than that, a vision that keeps us on task for the task, the mandate, the call that God has upon this church. We're here to enlarge the kingdom of God. Amen? We're here to touch this region. We're here to touch this city. And the Bible shares the prophetic voice of Isaiah. And I'm going to look at chapter number 5, verse 14. The prophet reminds us of this. Check this out. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself, and opened their mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Isaiah says that in hell there will be great and the lowly and the brawlers and the rebellious. That's what hell's designed for, Christ rejectors. But we must, here we go, we must enlarge the kingdom of God. That's the reason why we're here. That's why we're committed. And you know, you have to do the serving all along the way. Today, when we finish up back here in the Connect Sunday, Pastor Joy and I will jump in an automobile and head to Pennsylvania because we have a burial service tomorrow of one of our dear loved ones who passed away, Sister Lorraine Lau. And she's worth going to Pennsylvania for. Amen? So we're going to go there and do the burial service tomorrow. Why? Because God has sent us there. God has sent us to do that task. You don't know what you're going to do when you're willing to serve in the kingdom of God. You have no idea what you'll end up doing. But we've got to enlarge the kingdom. We've got to expand the kingdom. We've got to extend the kingdom of God. So the vision is this. We must raise up an army. Amen? Not just people who come into a facility and sit down on a Sunday and just eat the food spiritually that God has provided. But we eat that food and we're encouraged and we're inspired and we're engaged to do something that God perhaps has designed us to do. As I said, I can't play the piano. I don't know anything at all. If I went back there and sat behind one of those machines, I can turn the lights on back there on the pole and that's it. I don't know how to make red or yellow or purple. I have no idea. And so, you know, everybody has a gifting. Everybody has an ability. Everybody has something that they do to contribute to the greater good of the kingdom. And so we're raising up an army of redeemed people who are willing to embrace the God that saved them and willing to serve in that God-ordained mission to proclaim the gospel. Now, you may not have the microphone in your hand, but you're helping us to continue to enlarge the kingdom. Our vision reflects this. Carpenter Shop International Church is a body of believers, I hope you get this by now, whose vision is to love all people, okay? To win them to Christ, to build them in discipleship, and to, here we go, send them out. That's our mission, to send them out to fulfill their divine destiny. It's love, win, build, and send. That's our whole statement. We're here to love, win, build, and send. Today, we talk about sending. I'll never forget when I graduated from Bible college. Wow, that was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. I had gone to NC State, Raleigh, North Carolina, the home of the Wolf Pack, and I had graduated, and I was kind of colleged out. So when I started out fulfilling this call of God, I tried to do everything from distance learning, and it became very frustrating for me. I wasn't picking up what I felt like I needed. And so I made my way. I sold everything I had, and Jimmy Eason, who was in Southern Bank in Murfreesboro, I went in there the last day. The next day I was supposed to leave. I said, Jimmy, I'm supposed to go to Florida tomorrow. I'm moving down there to go to Bible college, and I need to borrow some money. He said, wait a minute now. You're going to Florida? You're going to leave and go to Florida, and you don't have a lot of money? I said, no, I don't. I've got $700 to my name. I said, I'm broke, really? And I got everything I own. I got it packed on a truck, and I'm supposed to leave tomorrow. But I'm a little concerned about when I land in Florida, how I'm going to make it, because I don't have any money, okay? So I filled out a little application, and he ran it, and he said, we can help you. And he lent me money the day before I left to go to Florida, just to have a little cushion. That's it. And when I got there, I spent all that cushion in 2 days, okay? I mean, you need to make a deposit on this apartment. You need to get a steam cleaning machine. You need all kinds of things. We just spent every bit of it in just a couple of days. But I went out in faith because I was there to prepare. I was there to hopefully fulfill what God had called me to do. And I had every bit of my money in a jar. I put it in a pickle jar and stuck it in the freezer. $700. I know that's old school, but guess what? I still got a jar in my freezer, okay? And you better not come near my house because I got a dog, okay? And in most of the drawers in my house, I got something else, and it ain't a dog either, okay? So you better stay away from my house, okay? Amen. Pastor Joy's got one too. Amen. Right beside her bed, man. All you do is point and shoot. That's all you got to do. Hold that bag up, baby. Praise God. Amen. She's got it. Amen. I just saw our security guy walk by a while ago picking up all that money, and I told Pastor Joy, I said, isn't that sweet? I said, look at that guy, man. He's got a gun on his hip. He's got the money, and he's walking out of this room. Okay? Okay? But you know why? Because that's God's money. Amen? And our job is to protect it, collect it, protect it, and then do the work of the ministry. When I went to Southeastern, I was broke. I had two kids, Josh and Abby, and Joy and myself, and we loaded up everything we had on a truck and left. And I went to prepare, and I remember the 4 years of preparation at that school, and I'll never forget the keynote speaker. He's in heaven now, but his name was Dr. Charles Cookman. And Dr. Cookman stood on that platform, and he said these words at the commencement address. There were 740 people in my freshman class. Listen to the math now. 740 people said, God has called me, I'm going to Bible college. 4 years passed, and out of that 740 people, Elaine, you know how many walked the aisle that night and graduated? 102. Ba, bum, 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 ba, ba, bum, ba, 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 ba. 102. Out of 740. What happened to the rest of them? They quit. Gave up. Forfeited. Maybe some of them will come next year. Maybe they'll catch up on those classes. Maybe some more of them will graduate. But 102 graduated. And this is what he said. I'll never forget it. All of your life, I'm quoting him, all of your life you hear the sound of the Spirit of God beckoning you to come. Come. Come to me, says the Lord. And then once you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and are disciple in his ways, the message turns into the exact opposite. Now go, go, go ye into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded them. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The message changes. You hear God say, come. And then when you come to him, he says, go. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Every one of us. And so I love that moment when I graduated. And I love that moment because there was a sort of sending that was going to take place in my life. I came back to North Carolina. And I came back to pastor a church over in the Northampton County, and I went into Southern Bank, and I said, is Jimmy Eason here? Okay. Y'all know where we're going now? I said, Jimmy, I graduated from Bible college. I moved back here. I'm broke, okay? I said, I need to borrow some money. He said, haven't we had this conversation before? I said, yes. But I said, I'm moving back, and I just, you know, I got everything I own here on a truck, and I'm just going to need some money to get some things happened here for a few weeks. And he said, Wallace, we can do that. That bank's been kind to me. And I thank God for relationships that are established. Amen. It's good to have good relationships. It's good to have great connections. And God has helped us so much over the years. It takes the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit in our life to beckon us to come to Jesus. And I submit to you that it takes the same work of the Holy Spirit to mold us and to shape us and to prepare us and to cause us to now go wherever God wants us to go, to be sent to wherever God is calling you to be sent. Even in your local church, maybe you're sitting here today and maybe you really don't have a clue what you're supposed to be doing, but you know you should be doing something. God could send you to the sound booth. God could send you to the platform. God could send you to the kitchen. He can send you somewhere to accomplish his plans and purposes for your life. And it takes the Spirit of God to tell us to go. It takes the Spirit of God to send us. It's that voice of the Spirit that spoke to the prophet Isaiah in chapter number 6. He begins by telling us that it was in the very year that a major figure died. Amen? King Uzziah. Look at King Uzziah. He was appointed at the age of 16 to lead the southern kingdom of Judah. His very name means this: Yahweh is my strength. Think about that. Think about that now. His name, King Uzziah, means Yahweh is my strength. And he led Israel, man, with a track record. He was a godly king, an amazing king, a good king, a king that depended upon the Lord as he led Israel. He had an amazing reign. Check this out now. Of 52 years in Israel enjoyed God's blessings. Israel enjoyed God's favor all the way up to the end. But something happened to Uzziah. Pride entered his heart. And he lost the perspective that Yahweh was indeed his strength. 52 years he served as a godly king. Yahweh is my strength. But he lost that perspective. And he began to rule, here we go, above the commands of the Lord. Do you sometimes make a decision, even though you know God said it, you try to do it another way? Amen? Do you ever do that? Sure you do. Can I just tell you that's dangerous? That's just dangerous. Instead of functioning in the calling and the role that the Lord required of him, King Uzziah entered the temple and he tried to take another role. He tried to take the role of the priest, and he goes in there and he now begins to offer incense like the priest would do. He was rebuked by the priest and he became very angry, and the Lord struck him with leprosy. He died a leper. Think about this, man. How sad. 52 years he rules and reigns as a godly king. Pride enters his heart and he dies a leper. Isaiah records his disappointing demise into death. In the year that King Uzziah died, they even used his death to mark a time. He says this as he opens up in Isaiah 6. His death devastated people. They were grief-stricken. They were disappointed. They were saddened and they were downhearted. What will now happen to Israel? Everybody's asking the question, what will happen now? What will be the future? How will this people of God be rebuilt and led? And it's in this context that Isaiah, the prophet of God, sees this vision of the Lord. Isaiah 6:1 says this: in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted. He's seated on the throne. And the train, check this out now, the train of his robe filled the temple. I want you to get a picture of your mind now. What does that mean, the train of his robe filled the temple? His garb, his what he wore, the train of his robe filled the temple. You see, the train of a king was fashioned by the garments of those whom he had defeated. And every time he defeated an army, one of their garments would be sewed to the tail of that garment. And so the train of his robe, because he had won so many battles, he had served tirelessly for 52 years. The Bible says the train of his robe absolutely filled the temple of the Lord. It declares his victories that the Lord has won on behalf of his chosen people. In fact, Isaiah bothers to remind us that his train was so large that it just filled the temple. Isaiah was able to get a glimpse of who it is that gives us our victories, who it is that allows us to triumph in our lives, who it is that we are dependent upon. We can't do anything unless God's power enables us, opens doors, shuts doors, empowers us to accomplish the things for God that he's called us to do. It is the Lord who's exalted. It is the Lord who is high. It is the Lord who is lifted up. He is the only one worthy of glory. And Isaiah goes on to tell us that angels are inhabiting the atmosphere where the Lord is seated. Look at it. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 3 to 8. You have to hear this. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then Isaiah says, I spoke up and I said, then said I, here I am, send me. Listen, some of you are just waiting. Some of you don't even know what you're supposed to be doing. Some of you don't really know, even in your own life, what am I supposed to be doing? You know what? If you saw my job application, it would look like I had absolutely lost my mind. That I could not decide what it is that I should do in life. I've done everything. I've worked for everybody and done everything. That is, before I was a pastor. Because I just could not find fulfillment in anything. And everything I did, God blessed. I worked with a company and I made my way quickly up the ranks. But then I'd be discouraged. I worked with a shoe company. I opened Shoe Show here in Ahoskie many, many years ago. I was a manager and I got promoted very quickly up to district supervision. I was number one in the company as a young married man, had an expense account and a company car. Everything was just going wonderful for me, working Raleigh stores, and I was just miserable. I just couldn't find any peace at all because I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. I was doing what I wanted to do. And everywhere I would work, I would climb the ranks and do well. But then I'd be miserable. My company executive said to me, Wallace, why do you want to leave this company? You're number one in the company in our district management. You've worked your way up in little or no time. You've got the 10 top stores in the state of North Carolina. Why would you want to leave? You've done so well. Don't do this. I said, Ken, I'm bringing the company car to Charlotte, North Carolina, Saturday. I'm going to spend the night and I'll be there Monday. I'm quitting this job. He said, I don't get it. I said, God has called me into the ministry. I cannot work for you. He said, okay, so be it. You think about it. And if you change your mind, I said, I'm not changing my mind. I said, I'm going ahead full force with what God's called me to do. Listen, some of you are in the valley of decision right now. You don't really know what you should do. It's not working out the way you think it should. Can I just tell you something? Listen to the Lord. Because he may have that message for you. This is the way. Walk ye in it. I believe that sitting in this facility right now, there are people that are not happy with where you are in your life. And you're never going to be happy until you throw your hands up and surrender and say, okay, God, here's my life. I place it in your hands, and I'll do what you want me to do rather than what I want to do. It's then and only then that you'll understand that God's call is on your life, and he wants to send you. Listen to the Spirit of God this morning. As you read this passage from the prophet Isaiah, you recognize several things. The first one, Isaiah said, the doorpost shook at the sound of his voice. When you find yourself in the presence of God, something has to give. His presence will move you. His presence will shake you. His presence will demand your absolute attention. Secondly, Isaiah continues by saying, woe unto me, for I'm undone. I've got a dirty mouth. How many of you understand that sometimes your flesh will sneak up on you and you will say things that you really shouldn't say? Do I have anybody in the building besides me? Come on. Sometimes I just have a dirty mouth. Pastor! Not you. How many of y'all in this room would say, sometimes I say dirty things? Come on, raise your hand. Did you know that liars spend eternity in hell? Did you know that? Okay. So what about the rest of y'all, okay? Sometimes I just get in the flesh and I say things that I shouldn't say. Like what? The same words you say, okay? Okay. Sometimes I just say things because I'm frustrated, okay? Pastor Joy will look at me and she'd say, honey. I say, well, I'm just mad right now, but I didn't use the word mad. Okay? I may say something else. Why? Because we're flesh. And our job is to bring our flesh into alignment with the Spirit. And when we do that, we will keep ourselves intact and we won't lose it very often. So our job is to keep ourselves abased and keep ourselves in the presence of God. Isaiah, thirdly, he says that an angel takes a fresh coal off the altar and touches his lips. Listen, when God touches you, your life will be transformed and changed. When God touches your mouth, you will say things that are pleasing unto him and not displeasing unto him. Everything about you will be different. You can't stand in the presence of a holy God and not be changed. Amen? Fourthly, Isaiah says that a question is posed to him. God says, whom shall I send? Who's going to go for me? Isaiah responds with the very words that the Lord wants you to say. Some of you, you already said to yourself, you know, when this service is over, I don't care what the pastor says. I got to go to Walmart. Some of y'all are already walking out of the building. You say, I don't care what he says. I'm leaving, okay? Go ahead with your bad self. Go ahead and leave. You don't need us. You know, you don't need us. Guess what? I'm going to eat your barbecue slider, bless the Lord. Okay. Go ahead and leave. I'll eat your food. I'm going to go stand on the outside the door and just watch the people that leave the building. Hey, see you, man. See you. Just walk to the back. Walk to the back. Because you're, listen, your walk to the back today may do something revolutionary in your mind and spirit. Well, I'll walk back there and I'll eat a sandwich, but I ain't signing up for nothing. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and be that way. Okay? Go ahead and be that way. I'm not staying in the nursery. Nobody asked you to stay in the nursery. We just ask you to walk back there and eat a sandwich. And the Holy Spirit can take care of the rest of it, okay? Then he will cause you to fall to your knees and say, I'll be the one, Lord. I'll be sent, okay? Whom shall I send and who go for us? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord. Send me. I know that people are discouraged. I know that the nation's in mourning. Listen, in case you don't know it, America's in a mess, man. America needs a church that's fired up in the Holy Ghost, that'll just come to the rescue and have the message of peace and hope upon their lips. Listen, if you watch television all day long, you're going to be in a mess. You know what? I'm a little frustrated because I still see that people are still listening to this onslaught of fear that has gripped this nation. Everybody's so afraid. Everybody's so afraid to do anything, to go anywhere. Some of you guys that are watching me online, listen, I'm just telling you, listen, I walked in this room this morning, and as soon as I stepped into the back glass doors of this sanctuary, I felt the Holy Ghost. I felt the joy of God's people coming together. I felt the atmosphere that was charged and challenged with God's glory. And I said, thank you, Lord. I stayed up late last night. I got up early this morning. I've lived out of a suitcase for 3.5 weeks. I haven't even unpacked my clothes in 3.5 weeks. I haven't pulled anything out of my dresser. Why? Because we've been so busy, we haven't had a chance to do that. Amen. Been on the run, but guess what? I'm not too tired to say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And when I came in this room this morning, I felt the joy of the Holy Ghost. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. Listen, God's presence is here. And when you come into his presence, you will hear him speak to you. God is always in the business of sending people. And the message of the good news will be on your tongue. Paul says it like this, Romans 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 14 and 15, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. God wants to send you. He wants to send you into your workplace. Maybe he has you planted in that facility just so you can touch other people.
Maybe he has you working at Nucor. Maybe he has you there because he wants you to touch other people for the kingdom of God that nobody else will come in contact with. God is in the business of sending people. Always. Sending people to connect with somebody else. I love that story Pastor Joy shared about that woman at the well. Man, she went to that well and she got connected. And then you know what she said at the end of it? She goes around after she drinks that living water and she has a face-to-face with Jesus the Messiah. She goes around like a flaming evangelist. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. God changed her life with one divine connection. Today, somebody say today. Today, your life could chart a different course simply because you ate a barbecue slider. We're going to run out of sandwiches, brother. Simply because you ate a sandwich and you walked around for a few minutes and you said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Your life could take on a different course just simply because you said, I will get connected. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, man. There's no way that this church can fulfill what God wants this church to do unless we have more people serving. No way. There's no way in the world that we can continue to do what God's called us to do and go to a new place. I told you in January, I told you on this pulpit that God spoke to me and said, this year is a year of tremendous change. You remember that? And then I also said, and the Holy Spirit reminded me, that change, Wallace, is going to cost you. You're going to run into some conflicts. Guess what? I already have. But you know what? I'm not stopping. I'm not backing up. I'm not backing up because I'm going to move forward with what I feel like God has called me to do. And I believe that this year, 2022, I don't care about the pandemic. It'll be the greatest year of ministry that this church has ever known because we're going to move forward in the things of God. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Amen. God wants to send us. Then there are some of us that he calls, yes. You know, there's some of us, yeah, he's called you to run the lights, or he's called you to run the sound, or he's called you to do the nursery or work in the kitchen. But then there are some of you that are sitting here, God has something simple and unique in mind, and he's choosing you. He's chosen you as a special ministry gift, and you maybe you haven't responded to that well yet. You know, I didn't plan to be a pastor. I didn't plan to be. I didn't go out and say, well, you know, I think I'm going into the ministry. No, I wouldn't recommend you do that to anybody in this world, okay? Don't do that. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you commit your life to the service of the Lord in a full-time office, I'm telling you, things will change. Things will be different. But God has that in mind for some of us, for some of you. Acts chapter 13 bears that out in the story. The church at Antioch, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Now in the church of Antioch, just like this church, now in the church at Carpenter Shop, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they had fasted and after they'd prayed, they placed their hands on them and did what? They sent them off. Listen, God has a divine call on some of your lives. So as we address this passage, let's remember, if we're saved, we're called to share Jesus. But then there are those of us in our circumstances and in our life situations where the Holy Spirit steps up to us and says, listen, I've got something else in mind for you. Something else in mind for you. Your sending happens to be a sending that will change your life forever. I've called you to be a pastor. I've called you to be a missionary. I've called you to be an evangelist. I've called you to do apostolic work. I've called you to do prophetic work. Listen, you have to zero in on what it is God is saying to you. Such is in the case in the church of Antioch. Luke records that there were ministry gifts there. There were prophets in the church. There were teachers in the church. Then he starts naming them: Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, Saul. And on this particular occasion, the church was on a fast. Listen, if you want to hear God with clarity, move away from the table. If you want to hear God, you say, man, I wish God would speak to me. Turn the television off. Throw your cell phone in the corner. If you want to hear God say something, shut off all the other voices and listen to the Lord. God will speak to you. Amen. Some of y'all think you can't live without a cell phone. Amen. You can't live without a cell phone. You feel naked. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Can I use your phone to call my husband? What for? Because I lost my phone. You can survive without a phone, okay? You can. Some of y'all are texting right now while I'm preaching because you can't concentrate on anything because you ain't got your phone. Let me walk out here and see who's on the phone. Come on here. Look at that. Well, I'm looking at the Bible. Yeah, right. Okay. Amen. Amen. Facebook. We don't care what you had for dinner last night. We really don't. Long as we ate, we ain't worried about your meal, okay? Oh, Lord. God is so good. Come on, say, send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. This church was all together. They were encouraging one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They were singing. They were making melody in their hearts to the Lord. And the Spirit of God showed up in that little prayer meeting. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I've called them. The Bible says they laid their hands on them and sent them off like a rocket. And they began to do missions work. Amen. This is the foundation of what we know as missions. Amen. For those unique situations that God raises up people like the Gordons and sends them out. Man, I was here 13 years ago. I remember that story. I was on the board in the Assemblies of God when that name came up. We've got a challenge here. I remember those days. But look what the Lord has done. You see, the enemy intended to wipe you out. But you know what? God raised you up. Amen. Because he is a redeeming God. Come on, somebody. He is a God of redemption. And his callings, Pastor Mike, that's so true. They're without repentance. You say, well, you know what? What happened? Listen, you don't need to know the whole story. You just know God redeemed. What the enemy intended to bring destruction, God redeemed. Amen. He gives beauty for ashes. Come on. The oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. Come on. Put on the garment of praise and say, thank you, Lord, for redeeming me. I could have gone another way, but you kept me on my way. That's precisely what we want for your life right here in this church. God continues to raise people up. Some of you are thinking, as Elena was sharing her story, you know, man, my life is a mess. But God can take that mess and turn it into a message. Amen? God can take that mess and turn it all around. For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. If you're a believer, I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to send you out to proclaim the gospel. Love, win, build, send. And you can't get the cart before the horse. Some of you are not even willing to get in the building process. You just come here and you eat the food and you go all week and then I'll see you next Sunday. And this is like a habit for you. You just come to church. You know, I'm not a bad person, Pastor. I just come to church. I just mind my own business. I'll see you next week. That is not God's will for your life. God wants you connected to something. Amen? Connected where you're engaged and you're using your gifts and your abilities to enhance the work of God's kingdom. Amen? That's what God wants. Come on, let's stand together in this room this morning. Our worship team's coming back. Let me just simply ask you, as they're coming to the platform this morning, maybe you're here today, and maybe there's just, you know, so much about being a pastor or going on the mission field or
or even maybe train in to run the lights or the camera or whatever. Just forget that for a moment. Maybe there's some of you that God is just touching your heart today about your relationship with Him. Come on. Your relationship with Him. How many of you would just simply acknowledge this morning, Pastor Wallace, I feel this morning that the Holy Spirit is just tugging at my heart for a deeper level. Listen to me. A deeper level of commitment, not to the church, not to the kitchen team, not to the light team, not to the music department, a deeper level of commitment to Jesus Christ. If you never wash a dish or serve a meal, that's the most important thing. Listen to me again. How many of you would say, Pastor Wallace, God is speaking to my heart today, and I believe that He's pulling on my heartstrings, calling me to a deeper relationship with Him. Let me see your hands all over this building. God bless you. God bless you. His hands are raised. Listen, raise up that other hand right now and just begin to worship Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we come before You today, God, with gratitude in our hearts. We're thanking You, God, because You are the one who calls us. You are the one who transforms our lives. You are the one, God, who takes who we are, just like we are, and transforms us into Your image, into Your likeness. I'm asking You today, God, to just speak to Your people, their hearts. Their hearts. If you're here today and you'd like prayer today, Pastor, God's just calling me to a new place in Him as it relates to my salvation, my walk with Him. Come on, step out of your seat. There's prayer people here. They're going to pray with you. God's calling me to a new place. Come on, step out of your seat. Just come. God's going to meet you here. Just come. Step out of your seat. People are going to be here to pray with you. There's a call on your life to greater service for the Lord. You're not promising anything. You're just acknowledging God is speaking to my heart. Step out of your seat. Come on. Step out of your seat. Just come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless You, God. We bless You, God. We bless You. Hallelujah. We worship You, Lord. Worship You.
Just what to do, and I will love.
Several across the congregation here. All business owners, you're in business for yourself. That's right. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up the business community right now. In a challenging time, God, when people don't want to work, people maybe are not as qualified as they should be. Father, I pray for the business community of this region, God, that you would move beyond our expectation. You're the God of Ephesians 3:20 to do something greater than we could ever think or imagine. Father, we speak blessing upon the businesses. We speak blessing upon the employees. We speak blessing, God, upon the revenue. God, would you turn things completely around in the midst of a dark time, God? In the midst of a challenging time, would you move powerfully in our business region? In Jesus' name. God, I want to thank you for tithes. I want to thank you for offerings. God, I thank you for faithful people in this room who have sowed into your kingdom. I pray, Father, that you would fulfill the promise of Malachi, that you would open the windows of heaven, that you would pour out blessing, that there wouldn't even be room enough to receive it. I pray for that person who's standing in this room right now. You've contemplated going into business. Maybe I'll just work. Maybe I'll just do my own thing. I pray for that person right now. If that's you, raise your hand up. I'm thinking about doing my own thing. I'm thinking about leaving where I am and starting my own business. Anyone at all? I feel that in my spirit this morning. Come on. Anyone else? I'm thinking about doing something different here. Listen, listen. Don't dismiss what God says. You know what I said? I said, you know what? I'm getting older. I think I need to prepare for something beyond the ministry. I think I'm going to go to school and get my real estate license. I'm not going to sell any houses or anything, but I think I'm just going to get my license. I'm not going to do anything with it. Guess what? I'm not going to be able to receive the award, but Tuesday this week, they called me and told me, they said, hey, you need to be there because you're being honored. You're the 10th agent out of 150 in our company, and you sold over $3 million worth of houses last year. I didn't really want to do that, but God wanted to do that, okay? So if you're thinking about doing something different, raise up your hand, please. Father, right now, there you go. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you would be the leader. You would be the guide. You would be the one who orders steps in the name of Jesus. Father, you know the end from the beginning. You know every step in between. And God, I just bless those people that are lifting their hands right now, saying, here I am, Lord, position me for the right place at the right time, that I might do the right thing, and that you would receive glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Some of you are worried about job security, wondering if you're going to get the notice that you're no longer employed. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just bless those people that are afraid. Come against the spirit of fear that's robbing your people. And I bless those people that are afraid that they're going to lose their job. That you would, God, give them a sense of deep, settled peace that can only come from you. James, I want to pray with you, man. It just didn't hash out the way you thought it would. Come on, stretch your hand this way to this guy right here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that the word says the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And so I thank you, God, that what James planned did not take place. But Lord, it has not caught you by surprise, because you're the God, the word says, neither slumbers nor sleeps.
And Lord, you are the one who pays his bills. You are the one, God, who makes everything paid in full. You're the one that puts food on the table. You're the one, God, who does all of this. And so we acknowledge today that despite the things that have happened, you are in control. And so we trust you, God. We put faith in you, not in a company, not in a plan, but faith in you, Lord. And so we decree and declare today, God, that you are doing exactly what you promised you would do. And Lord, I thank you for your provision in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give him praise today. Give him praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we love you guys. You're wonderful, wonderful people. Let me just encourage you to take a stroll back to the backside. When you walk in the door back there, there's a little table there with some blank sheets of paper. Print your name, because I'm going to be back there in just a few minutes and I'm going to give away some very nice door prizes, okay? To get you something to eat, look around at the tables, listen to the Holy Spirit, and sign up for something, okay? God bless you all. We love you. God bless you.